The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
Play NZ's number one entertainment podcast.
Virginia. Virginie.
Virginie.
Sorry, no, Zara.
In a world that goes by Virginie.
From iHeartRadio, Play ZM's Flesh, Vaughn and Hayley. Available everywhere.
The Real Pod is brought to you by our good friends at Nando's. They've got restaurants across Aotearoa, and if you order through the Nando's app, you can collect Peri Perks points to redeem for delicious rewards. Hit nandos.co.nz to learn more and start earning.
Bring on the weekend. What's that?
Bring on the weekend.
I've been eating jelly. Yeah, oh, that's only a tiny part of my story.
Of her story.
Okay. Kia ora, welcome along to The Real Pod. Alex is cackling away already. My name's Janie, joined by the cackle queen, Alex Casey.
Cackle queenie.
Cackle queenie, yes. And Mr. Beanie.
And Duncan Grieve.
Oh my God.
Is that nasty?
No, but it is our new persona. Forever.
Mr. Beanie.
Thanks for the non-consenting assignment there, but I can't deny it's true.
This is your reality TV podcast. We are recapping Dancing with the Stars week three. Week three.
But also halfway.
Just
which
crazy.
Was how I consoled myself with spending my Monday night watching 2 hours of quite indifferent television.
Can you just pretend to be on board?
I'm on board.
Okay.
I liked the Paso Doble.
If you want to get in touch with other people who listen to this podcast, then head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/RealPodCorner. Some great chit-chat happening in there always. You can also find us on Instagram, instagram.com/thespinoffpodcastnetwork.
Hey, what was that sound, Jane?
Okay, so we just need to give you some context. The power is out, but the show must go on. We lost power at the spin-off yesterday, and it's still not back on.
Hey, Victor, what's up?
Victor, definitely listening. So there's no peeps over there at the moment. Everyone's working from home because we need power and internet and so on. A very technologically advanced organisation. But Tiahi has jacked up a temporary studio in the boardroom of our sister company, Daylight Creative. And that sounded like a fart.
That one sounded like a fart. Well, it's interesting because we are right next to the toilets.
We are near the toilets.
And I did an experiment last night where I, you know, went in, did some things, and I had a friend listen outside. And she
all
said
normal
you could,
things, by the way.
And she said you could hear everything, start to finish.
Yeah.
She said I was there for the whole journey. So if you hear some flushing and some activity.
We've got to do something about that.
In what sense?
I feel like people need privacy.
They do. This is what I'm saying. I mean, we've talked about this before.
You often have these teething issues with a new build. Not that it's a new build, but it's a new reno.
Okay, look, all that to say, the sound is not the best at the moment. Mm. We're next to a thoroughfare. There's glass doors. There's big gaps in the doors. Chai's done his level best and an amazing job, as always, but not good enough.
Not good enough.
Not good enough?
That's fundamental.
And that's a backhanded compliment. Yes, of course. Done amazing. Also, our first guest in the temporary studio this morning. Oh, only John Kerwin.
Was it? Joking.
Yeah. That's classic. Yeah. Did the toilet, was the toilet
arriving? Everyone was arriving. The door's banging away. People getting in there. They're having their first coffee. Yeah. You know what that means, right?
Do not come a knocking.
Busy time. Busy, busy time. Anyway, in some reality TV news, Lego Masters has started.
Whew. Do you watch?
I did not.
Did you watch, Duncan?
No.
Well, let me tell you, I've watched the first 10 minutes.
You are more researched than the rest of us. There's a lot on.
So I wrote a story about Robin Sather, who is the brickmaster on the show, who's like the judge and does everything behind the scenes and is the first certified Lego professional in the world. So it's quite interesting. But the show itself, I don't care for so much.
What, have you seen any of the international versions?
Bits and pieces.
Okay. Does it stack up? Are our builders any good?
That's nice.
So
that's
what you did there.
That's really nice.
Did it on purpose, I promise.
From what I saw, it was quite low energy. Like, it has Di Henwood hosting, and I thought he was going to be a bit more like, you know, getting around the brick pit and whatnot. Very calm.
Do you think he's a bit dark about being sashayed off the dance floor?
Possibly.
I think he intentionally did that because of Lego Masters. Yeah.
Like, right.
He was recruited to the hated rival network.
He would have had no idea how big the return of Dancing with the Stars was going to be.
Has it been big?
3 million people watched the first episode.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That's what I read somewhere.
I mean, that's just completely impossible.
That's right. There's no way.
It's just amazing the way that you can just say anything about your numbers nowadays.
I may have like dreamed of press release.
The Weekend Herald has and radio. Basically, every legacy media form is reporting rising numbers every single quarter. It's amazing. Like, well done. But is that actually happening? Because you're printing less of them and people are dying all the time.
When I say 3 million, I mean a million. That's still a lot.
I'm sorry. Like, that's not a real number.
You know when they release the figures, the ratings for like the top 20 shows or whatever of the week? You know there are some of our podcasts get almost as many listens as the top 20 TV shows.
Like
when I say our podcast, I mean the spin-off network.
You mean 3 million people. 3 million people listen to the real podcast.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
No, but that's what we should start doing. Because if you can just say that a million people watch Dancing with Stars, which just no way it's true.
Yeah.
Like, come at me, Discovery Comms, but it's not true. Unless you start to include like social impressions or something of that nature, then it's not true. Then then 3 million people listen to the real pod.
I feel like this might be one of those occasions where they do actually come at you. They may come at you.
You're
with
just
some
saying
evidence.
Some things.
You really are.
I am saying some things. Okay. So One News gets about 600,000.
Oh,
no, it's going
to
be the fault.
Sorry. Apologies.
Hey, if I'm wrong, I will. What will I do? I'll do a big formal apology.
I know. I think you should do a dance.
Dance, Shuey, and apology. Bingo.
I've done dancing lately. All the same time.
Yeah.
Below Deck, by the way, is starting on Bravo in just a couple of weeks, and we will be doing a real recap series on that. So,
also going to the premiere.
I don't want to show off to everyone.
Well, no, but they want us to do that.
They
want
to be part of it.
They even said, like, to get me there, that there'll be candles on the seats.
Did they tell
you
that?
They did, because they know that I like to take the things.
You know what? I'm a bit that way inclined now too, so battle's on.
What do you mean now?
Well, because I wasn't a candle stealer once upon a time, but now I feel
too
like
cool.
times have changed.
It's tough out there.
Love a candle now.
They were a Akoya.
Wow.
You don't just walk past an Akoya.
No.
How many did you get?
About five, they.
Redacted. About 3 million.
Candy Lane, reality TV star from Dancing with the Stars, once upon a time host.
She gone.
Also Celebrity Treasure Island, is gone. Gone to Gold Coast. Gone to love.
Gone to the Goldie.
Yeah.
That is a real...
The GC.
Do you think she took the ejection from the CTI?
Extremely
too
difficult.
Too literally.
Yeah. You're off the island.
You're off the island. But this... is the North Island.
Yeah,
this
you're gone.
This is where I make my home.
You got the options. You got South Island, Stuart, or Australia.
I hope Customs keeps a close eye on her because we know she's good at smuggling.
Yes, we do. Mm. We do know
various
that.
Spices and aforementioned things and makeup containers.
She's also good at rummaging through other people's bags for
bananas
and clues to the treasure.
Rummaging. Great CV.
And good at selling shoes. Remember, she worked at a shoe shop.
That's right.
She fancied herself in that shoe competition. I can't even remember what. Anyway,
what's she going to do on the Goldie? Dance, of course?
She's got
Whānau there.
Yeah. Her daughter's called Jazz, which I think is fun, like jazz ballet, you know. Name your child after your preferred dance style. I maybe dreamt this too, but I think she might have offered to sell her dance school to my sister.
What? Yeah. This is reported.
What? Again, like I say, might have dreamed it. My sister is a dance teacher and has dance syllabus around the world.
Why isn't she on Dancing with the Stars?
Because she doesn't do that kind of dancing.
Wow.
She doesn't do, which made me think, by the way, I was thinking in the shower, I did my best thinking. This morning I thought, wouldn't it be good if there was an alternate Dancing with the Stars? So it's just not necessarily always on, but there's two seasons a year. One is this ballroom one. But then, and this all came out of Lance Savalli doing his very not ballroom-esque dance. I thought, wouldn't it be good if people went in and they had to do like a hip-hop dance and a jazz ballet dance and like a hoedown or a Charleston. You know,
do they not do that? Do they not do hip hop?
Nah, it's all like rumbas and zumbas.
They
and
really should
lows.
Be doing that.
They sometimes
that they
do. Will do.
Why
like,
did Colin have cornrows?
Didn't they used to do
the great
like,
unanswered question?
I ask you once more.
I think sometimes they inject a little bit in, but ultimately it's ballroom dancing. Did you not notice?
Well, no, but I feel like there was a year where they did like sort of adult contemporary interpretive dance.
Yeah, it was a whole
Chris
different
Harris
show.
Have that skirt?
There was a
whole. I asked oh, you yeah, once no, again.
I think there is a contemporary. Sometimes they do a contemporary, but it's not all. Anyway, but let's just get on with the show. which we're actually starting with Alex's dotes of the week.
Oh, my huge.
Your dotage.
I had the biggest weekend of my entire life.
Tell me about it.
Saturday night, I went to a housewarming. Huge for me. Don't go out much. Mm. Loved it. Left. Sat down on my couch, started eating a big bowl of jelly. This is part one of my weekend.
Can confirm, saw footage or photoage of the big bowl of jelly.
Actually, it continued across two nights, that bowl.
It did. I didn't quite finish it.
I got photos the next night.
Because I ate some before Dancing with the Stars as well. Because I'm on a jelly journey. Because I've been going a bit ice cream crazy at home.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just loving it. And now I've got dermatitis. From all the sugar. And so I'm trying to cut back on sugar.
Oh, I have to say, speaking of ice cream, I rolled the dice on a sundae, a McDonald's sundae over the weekend. After Dancing with the Stars, actually.
Whoa.
And you know how it can go either way for me. 70% of the time bad, 30% of the time. Okay. It was a good one.
It was a good one.
Yeah, got through. Trouble free.
Thank God for that. Yeah. What flavour?
Caramel.
Yum. Yes, yum. So I was halfway through my bowl of jelly. And then I looked at my phone and there was all these messages in the Real Pod chair, as you'll be aware.
Mm, 38 of them.
38 messages. Had a spare ticket to a Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo pop party at Galatos. And I got my ass up off the couch after 9 o'clock at night.
Never been more shook that. I thought there was a 3% chance of Jane and like a 0.3% chance of Alex.
Because are you a Swiftie?
Well, I did later get accused. A teenager grabbed me in the face and yelled right into my open mouth, "You are not a real Swiftie."
No.
And you'll notice I sound hoarse today, but I'm sure that's unrelated. I am like a post-Red onwards Swiftie.
Oh, okay. You know,
the
you're
earlier
not,
albums, no, I'm not.
You're not a Swiftie.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm still allowed to go.
I was
my
there.
Human right.
It was a very intense crowd. I had like the absolute time of my life. I've never felt more safe and secure as a 42-year-old male Swiftie. And I saw that incident happen and I felt quite bad but also quite lucky that I actually knew all the words to the songs that you were not quite familiar with.
I was pretending. I was doing the mouthing along.
Yeah.
Pineapple.
She was a real cop.
She was, and it was dark. They had their Silence of the Lambs, like, what is that?
Night vision goggles
on. And I got absolutely caught out. But it was so much fun.
It was so fun.
I don't want to hear that.
Cam Mansell from ZM was on stage. And then we saw him
at Dancing with the Stars. Big weekend for him too.
Epic weekend with Cam Mansell in a way.
So you went to Dancing with the Stars. Did you? I've got a question written down.
Surprisingly, yeah. So Duncan, share your question.
Oh, did you get a sore bum?
No. So the seats, I actually commented on them that they're padded.
Wow.
They're like stadium seating, low key, only about 7 rows. But they were padded, so totally comfortable.
Loved it. That was not my main concern.
No.
What was your main concern?
Hunger.
So how long from
4:30
ingress to egress?
4:30 to 8:30.
Oh, no.
They did provide us with a bottle of water. In fact, I've got the water. This is not the water. It's been refilled. I'm recycling. You see, they gave us a bottle of water, so that was nice.
4 hours.
They told us not to bring food in and didn't provide any. And all I could think about, what food was I thinking about the entire time, Alex?
Honey roasted peanuts.
Honey roasted peanuts.
Jane became so delirious by the end of the record that she thought a crew member holding a clipboard was a waiter holding a plate of food.
True story.
And then I started smelling butter chicken in the second half, and I was going mad.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of torture, but glorious. It was
so
good.
Can we go back to the start of the experience? Because you have to get a rat test on arrival.
Yeah,
wow.
Which is its whole thing. You have to line up. Do the rat in front of everybody.
You do the rat. There's no little private booth. You're doing it
right.
You
do the rat.
Yeah.
You're just like...
it's a new game show.
shoving a thing up. I got complimented on my technique.
Jane got showered in compliments by the guy.
Yeah.
The medic.
He was just like, ah.
You've done this before.
I don't think he said that, did he? No, but it was implied.
Yeah.
And I have, so correct. Yeah, I did a good job. He said, you've got great technique or something. I wasn't sure if he was hitting on me.
Because it does sound like he was hitting on you.
Yeah, it didn't. I just think he was like, after seeing crap rat after crap rat, he saw someone come along, take it seriously.
Crap rat.
Went to the back rather than up, you know? Went backwards rather than up with the swab.
I know that's what you're meant to do, but it feels inauthentic.
It feels performative.
Oh,
the lady in front of you was like, yeah, like put her head so far back. I was like, calm down.
No, well, she's done it wrong. You're supposed to go just straight back with the swab, not up.
Oh, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
You don't need to tilt.
It's an intimate thing to do in a crowd of many.
And so when Alex did hers, I took photos of her doing it.
And I look really bad and I'm having a hard time.
Are they in real hot corner?
No, but she sent them to her mum.
I did. And then my mum said, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
She was like, rat test or?
She said, rat test or cocaine? I was like, ooh. I mean, I don't think that's how cocaine works. I'm not really sure. But and then I tried to give my swab. You're supposed to, you know, put it in the solution and give it back to the man, and they put it in a rack with all the others. And I just gave it to him like a bachelorette giving someone a rose. And he was like, please don't give that to me. Put it in there.
And then they got your number
and
wrong.
And then there was a snafu with my number. They told me I was 96, but then Cal overheard them say there is no 96. She's 90. But at this point, I had gone to the holding pen. So all I had was the secondhand information from Callum that I might be 90 or 96. So you can imagine how tense it was as we were waiting for the numbers to get read out. And then obviously 90 did not get called out.
No, 90 did. 96 did not.
96 did not.
And then she had to go and explain to the lady, and the lady got angry with her. It was just an amazing, what was a very straightforward process for literally everyone else there was just a giant real potting for me.
Yeah,
like,
really real.
And I was on tenterhooks already because I was thinking of the event the night before, and Cam Mansell got his rap before me though. So I was like, well, if Cam Mansell's fine, then I'm going to be okay, you know.
Look, we're not even through the doors yet.
No.
Then we had to go and wait in line, and this is the funny thing, we had priority tickets. We were like, great, priority tickets. The priority line was twice as long as the rings line, because most of the audience are family, friends.
Brody Kane's mum.
All the mums, actually. So many mums there.
Yeah, but particularly Brody Kane's mum.
She's amazing.
So we trotted in, and we were dressed to the nines.
Oh, yeah, I borrowed a dress from Ashley Bogle, no less.
Wow. We were.
No.
I feel like you've worn a dress maybe once before in your life.
Voyages and weddings.
Yeah. She wore it backwards as well.
And I wore it backwards because I thought it was too low cut in the front. So I wore it backwards and I had to wear a merino underwear under it to hide the label. So I didn't, God forbid, you see the label on TV because I was convinced I was going to be in the front row, of course.
Oh, which is hilarious because we ended up in the one spot that was never going to get captured, like impossible to get captured by the cameras. We were in the back corner.
There was like ladders and ropes.
There was all this stuff behind us. We were like, we're here
behind.
I was trying to slump down so to get in the background shot of when they they cut back to Clint's mum, but not even close. Not even close. But we would, because they say, dress up nice. You might just find yourself in the front, you know, you might get put in the front row. Mm. And we come in, honestly, some of the fanciest dressed people there, not the fanciest. Like,
you're wearing heels.
I was wearing it. There were not many people wearing heels. I was on heels.
Yeah.
She had sparkly stuff on.
I had two different kinds of highlighter on my face because I thought the cameras would catch it beautifully. Yeah,
we didn't. We did make it onto the telly, sort of. There was a shot just after Eric and Lauren danced and got their feedback, cuts back to the audience, our section of the audience for like 0.2 seconds. And you can just make out Alex's arm and my arm in the like about an inch of my arm in the shadow of the corner, which is where we belong, in the corner. Yeah.
But what was funny is when you get into like the little holding pen before they seat you, she was like, and who are you guys here to support? And we completely blacked out.
I said everyone.
Jane said everyone. And I said, the stars, we're media. The
stars. And then she looked confused and went away and then came back and went, are you a spin-off? And we're like, yeah. And then the greatest moment of my life, they were like, why didn't you say so? And we were like, oh, this is great. Okay. Well, because you
have to the corner.
You need to go to this disgusting dark corner with all this shit.
I thought we were going to get wheeled out to the best seats in the house, and we did not.
Why didn't you say you're over there?
But also, the reason why I didn't say we're from the spin-off is because she said, who are you here to support? So I answered the question as it was asked.
You can't say the spin-off there. Which one's on the
wall? Anyway.
Without Nando's, there would be no real pod.
There'd also be no cheesy garlic pita.
Basically, Nando's changed all of our lives.
Now, we all know that times are tough for Hospo, and sadly, Nando's have had to temporarily shut down some of their restaurants. So make sure you check the website to see which stores are still open before you visit.
However, if you prefer to eat at home, like I do, because I'm lazy, Nando's delivery has got you covered, and there's a nice little bonus on the side.
You can order a scrumptious meal directly from the Nando's app on your telephone or the website on your computer and earn Perry Perks points.
Once you're on the Nando's train, you are definitely not going to want to get off, and you can use your points towards future orders.
You don't get Perry Perks through other delivery services, so great hack.
If you're a fan of The Real Pod, show our besties at Nando's some love. Visit nandos.co.nz or download the app today.
At Zed, we're all about moving with the times. And now it's time to be part of the climate change solution and move on from fossil fuels. As a New Zealand company providing fuel to people all over the country, we also know we have a real opportunity to lead that change. We're committed to keeping Aotearoa moving by providing the right energy for everyone. We believe that innovation in fuel and how it's used can make a huge difference to our planet. Find out more at zed.co.nz.
Hey, it's Dua Lipa, and I'm here to tell you about my brand new podcast, Dua Lipa at Your Service. You might know me as a singer, writer, and inquiring mind, and now I'm adding podcasts to that list.
Join Dua Lipa for inspiring stories, tools, tips, and recommendations alongside some of the world's most exciting minds. Her guests roll deep on success, failure, obstacles, and what we can learn from them.
I can't wait to share all of this and more with you. Listen to Dua Lipa at Your Service on the iHeartRadio app. iHeartRadio.
It was very confusing.
The good thing is it's now 11 o'clock and we're halfway through the podcast. We haven't talked about this show.
There's not that much to say.
Any more stuff?
Oh, so much gossip. So observations include, I think Lance Savali swallowed his gum at some point because he came in chewing and was not chewing by the time we went to air, and I did not see him spit into the hand.
I do it and I think it's fine.
Well, yeah, the seven-year thing is a myth. Mm. He also enjoys still water, still Kiwi Blue, James and Camilla, San Pellegrino.
Yeah. I mean, that might be a contract thing. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Sharon and Clint are incredible at their jobs.
Mm.
Like, I've mocked Clint a little. Take it all back. He's amazing. Like, they when they are going live, those two are finding their spots. There's moments where Sharon's reading from a card, kind of like the all the scores and who you got to vote for. That she's walking backwards across the floor in heels while reading the cards, so that she can get from the spot where she just was to the spot where she needs to be on the other side of the dance floor.
This seems impossible.
It's
amazing to watch.
So at the end of the episode, when there's the whole group tally and Sharon's reading it, she is traveling.
She's traveling. She's walking backwards, and there's no one. They're like on their own. There's no one, like, helping her get back there. There's no one telling them where to go. They just know.
It's incredible. I came away so impressed with Bum Up. Hats off to the crew.
Hats off to the absolute crew. And hats off to the dancers, because there is no kind of, like, fanfare the way that it seems on the telly when they come into the room. They just kind of like shuffle in, and then like if you're Butterbean, you just sit down on the step and you just bloody wait for your song to start. Mm. Like there's lots of people yell, cameras moving around, then they're like 3, 2, and then he just has to start dancing when the music kicks
in. And everyone's clapping, and you can't. It's very hard to hear the start of the music. And I was like, how the hell do they know? It's incredible.
It's actually, and I just thought every dance was great. Every dance is amazing. The judges are incredible. The group dancers
look like dog crap in person. I will say that. It's all about where the cameras are. It looks really bad in the room.
The hoedown at the beginning was an absolute shambles. And it's a lot brighter in there than it looks on the telly too. So you don't kind of get quite the same like vibe of a nighttime event.
Because they do their like little dance, like when it's like presenting jazz or whatever, but everyone else is just kind of standing around behind the camera and then they go, hey, 1, 2, and come back in. So it's like a lot more stilted.
Yeah.
It kind of looks.
Sharon's booth also very small.
Much smaller than you'd imagine.
Very, a bit like a photo booth at a party, you know, or at a wedding or something. The camera's very close to her when she's doing her bits in there. And, it's honestly, the whole thing was a lot smaller than it looks on the TV. They do a great job.
Hats off to the crew. And hats off to the warm-up guy as well.
Warm-up guy was great.
Tough job.
He made some really borderline, good old days kind of calls.
Sam Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We actually got a story about him on the spin-off being the evergreen warm-up guy.
He's the guy for all the shows. He basically accused Brody Kane's, Kerry Woodham's mum of touching him inappropriately. She did though. No, she's just a short lady, and when he put his arm around her and she stood up, she put her arm around, and of course it was bum height, you know?
Yeah.
And I understand that. I get that all the time. You don't mean to touch people downstairs. It's just that's the height of where your hands are when you're going for a hug.
Terry's looking at his watch. When is this going to be over?
Hey, it's a good intro.
One more vibe check from the room. When they were in the group dance, Reese, by far the most magnetic dancer, I thought. Like just captured.
Yeah.
Captured the room.
Everyone else absolutely phoned it in.
Yeah.
Okay, so we started off with that group dance, yada yada. Kerry and Jared did a samba. I thought she was amazing. I just thought everyone was amazing. So I'm just going to say that. In the room, I don't know, you get caught up in it. You just want the best for everyone. Dance to Toto?
Yeah, I feel like I really liked this, and as you know, I don't like this show. And I wonder if it's because I don't understand why, but I have really warm feelings towards Toto's Africa.
Yes, I was going to say, I've actually gotten my notes later on when she ended up being in the bottom two and they had to dance off again. I was like, it's really hard to compete. Even Valare, Gypsy King's version, can't compete with Toto.
I mean, there must be so many things wrong with that song, really, when you think about it. But, man, it just gets me. Dun, 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 dun. Wonderful synth writing.
I saw the bassist, I think it was, from Toto play in a jazz club in New York. So
whoa.
There you go.
I don't even know if that merits a whoa.
It does.
Just like, are you telling me you spent time in the Americas?
I did.
The Big Apple.
The biggest one. They got 19. I'm not even going to go. We haven't got time to go through all the feedback.
Just a little bit of goss from the floor. Afterwards, Kerry went and was talking to people well in front of us because we were right at the back.
Yeah.
But I heard her say, I ate my earring. So that's just a bit of on the floor gossip.
There were a couple of earring losses, actually.
Yeah.
There were a couple of earring losses on the night. And I don't remember anyone going to pick them up. So possibly just there's a sort of an earring graveyard happening on the floor of Dancing with the Stars. Vaz and Britt did the slowest jive ever. To Valara, as I mentioned, Gypsy King's version. Well, Parachute Recordings version of the Gypsy King's version of Valara.
I didn't think that we would ever talk about the Gypsy Kings on this podcast.
Here we are.
I think you've mentioned that three times.
I've never heard this phrase before. Is it okay?
Is it problematic?
It's spelled Gypsy, G-I-P-S-Y, so I don't know if that helps. But anyway.
Doesn't sound like it.
As long as you keep saying it.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just, it's facts. I didn't make it up, okay? I didn't name the band. This is a song that was special to Vaz because it was like special to his parents around the time when they met. Mm. Someone in the corner was like, "Did who his parents meet in the 50s? What is he saying? But no, again, the King's version.
The what version?
I can't. Sorry. I've reached my quota. Vaz.
What a sweetie.
I love her. I'm fully on board.
Yeah.
Absolutely on board the Vaz train.
When he came out before the group dance, he ran out some flowers to his mum who was in the front row.
Yeah.
And it was very emotional because when the stars come out and they're waiting to dance, they're playing their video packages down on the screen. And you had like Vaz and his little cheese cutter and his, whatchamacallit?
Suspenders.
Suspenders in front of like baby Vaz and then him crying about his mum. And I was just like, he's just giving it heaps, you
yeah.
know?
He's really putting himself out there. He really is. And so many more people know who he is now.
Mm.
Like, this is the thing. When it came to the elimination, I was like, I just want this for him because Kerry's, she's reached
she's
capacity.
Fine.
She's fine. She yeah. doesn't need any more notoriety. Vaz, he's a rising star.
Just getting started.
He is. He's also, like, getting a lot of screen time by being consistently one of the worst dancers.
True.
So he's always...
Always bottom two.
Yeah. There's always a lot of tension around it. I mean, I was very moved by Vaz's thing as well, but I think there's something about Vaz that is like literal physical makeup and how kind of sort of perfect, but almost like there's some kind of filter on him at all times. Mm. Like as I was watching, I was like, he reminds me if like, because there's this thing called the Unreal Engine, which a lot of video games use to kind of do live action-y type things. And it feels like he's a dancer who someone has done their routine using the Unreal Engine. You know, like it's just a little bit like someone's you playing the Dancing with the Stars video game and doing like quite a good job, but it's just a little bit sort of AI kind of vibe.
I think his height is working at a disadvantage in this competition because it just makes every movement so much more noticeable.
Mm.
Which
it's not working against Eric, who's about 8 to 9 feet tall.
I think it is a working human against giant. Eric as well.
Disagree.
Imagine how big those. No, not how big, sorry, how long those pants are.
Very long, especially Eric's, right? Because they come up to basically
we cannot talk about Eric's pants ahead of the Eric segment because that's going to be a huge talking point.
Okay, 21 for Vaz and Britt. Reese and Phoebe did a waltz to the Commodores, 300 Lady. Beautiful, just lovely.
Cinderella story.
They're really pouring on the romance of Reese, who... has a wife. Let's be clear. But it's like they're trolling him with the song choices and all the romance stuff. Eh? It's really cracking up.
My mum watched the episode because I told her she'd be able to see me.
So your arm.
She asked if we were sitting behind Vez's mum at one point, didn't she?
Yeah. Not us.
Not us. No, that was not us.
And she really liked Reese's performance because she remembers seeing Reese when he was like a little teenage comedian because we used to go to the comedy clubs to see Rose Mutafer when she was young. And she was like, now he's just gone from a larrikin to being such a sophisticated guy. And I was like, Mum, is that because he was dressed as a prince? And she said, yes.
Yeah.
It's real. It's really amazing how, like, him just wearing his normal outfit, like jeans and a t-shirt, you're like, yeah, he's just a scruffy comedian. Put that man in like a silly, like, $2 shop prince outfit. He's the most handsome Chappy, and I would swear allegiance and go to war.
Absolutely.
It's a really amazing transformation.
Extremely handsome Chappy, lovely footwork, just what a dream.
So good.
What a get for the show, you know?
Mm. I think he's going to be the breakout star of it. You know, there's someone who sort of stopped, you know, moves levels. I think, you know, Vaz is giving him a crack. But the thing is, Vaz basically is just hanging around waiting for his next reality gig, whereas Reese has other things he can do.
Yeah.
I think the problem is Vaz is not relatable.
Yeah, too handsome.
Because he's handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He's too perfect.
Speak for yourself, Ellet.
Hey?
Speak for yourself. No, I can't relate to this, obviously. I'm 3'4". Okay, Brody and Enrique. Now, this was a moment. Brody and Enrique doing the Paso Doble, one of my favourites, to Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. Huge tune.
Was it Bohemian Rhapsody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite a different Queen song.
Quite a famous song.
Oh, man, that's real embarrassing. Hey, edit that out and just make it so that she's wrong.
Absolutely do not do that.
Frank and Graham.
No, this was honestly in the room. I don't know how it came across on the telly, but in the room this was electric. Like I wouldn't have been surprised if other people got to their feet. I was never going to start it. I would have got up. I would have given a standing O.
It was amazing on the TV. With those real life flames behind them. was very
Oh, that was the other thing. It was hot as hell.
Yeah, no, and she had
and
a thermal on.
My thermal on tied the label. I was baking alive.
I was trying to convince her she should
blow out your pits.
Blow out my pits, but wearing black, of course. So
I was trying to convince her to do a Mr. Bean on the beach and take the thermal off from underneath the dress. Without, had it been a singlet, you'd have been fine. You could have managed, fine. But with the sleeve, she started it.
She did start Mr. Bean in the background.
She didn't tug the bottom of her sleeve out.
Oh, it's good to be back on the preamble again. It's been too long.
Anyway, score of 24. It was the dance of the night for me.
Yeah.
Contentious because it wasn't the highest score.
She's got that thing where just every time she speaks, she says something classic and cracker.
So cool.
Yeah, nearly blew a diff.
Yeah.
So good.
What does that mean?
It's a car term, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a car term.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was.
And I didn't realise how loud and boisterous the mumbo was from Mumbo Number 5 from last week. It was really good. And her mum, just what a mum. Unbelievable.
One of the great mums.
It'd be fucked up to do a power ranking of the show's mums because someone has to be last. But definitely she's first.
Yeah, you know what? She's the kind of mum that if you meet her and you had no idea she was Brody Kane's mum, you'd be like, you're Brody Kane's mum.
Yeah.
Like, they're
guess who's mum?
Who's mum?
That's a show, copyright.
Whose mum is it anyway?
Yeah.
Mum's come out, improvised.
Yeah.
With a pool noodle.
Or with a pool noodle.
Well, you know, like Ryan Stiles and stuff.
Whose
line is it anyway? I was just trying to think of a way to like take the format.
I don't know if I ever saw a pool noodle on Whose Line Is It Anyway.
No, I certainly didn't. But it was probably different back in the 1920s when we were watching it, Jane. Eric.
Eric and Lauren did Eric's pants.
Yeah, okay, so Eric's pants.
This was a talking point after the show. As we were walking away, I was like,
they were so tall and they seemed to have a point.
I don't know about the point, but it's not the first time he's worn these pants. He wore them in week one. We saw them high with a white shirt tucked in. I don't remember what in week two, so I assume that the shirt covered the waistband.
It's a very sheer shirt.
This time I was like, they've done him dirty again because don't worry, Eric, you're going to wear a shirt that covers your waistband, but we're going to make it sheer so we can still see that your pants come up to your nipples.
What if he's proud? That could be where his legs start. This is what I posited to you.
It's 100% not where his legs start.
It could be where his legs start. We've never seen.
The thing is, it also still works with my strongman theory because a circus strongman would have very high-waisted pants and then thin sort of suspendery things across the top.
When we were waiting in the rat area, sorry, back to the preamble, I did actually see if you are lucky enough to go to Dancing with the Stars and you're in the rat area, you can mosey on back. And I saw a costume person airing out a chiffon lavender shirt. And I was like, I wonder who that belongs to.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. Ding. but we found, I can't tell you how Eric danced, truthfully, because I am always so mesmerised by Lauren. I just don't watch Eric at all.
Yeah. And, well, especially the way he just slings her around. She does like a million twirlies.
That first lift when they open the dance. Again,
on the shoulders.
Yeah. She... fear in her face, real fear.
Because he's not, he's all brute strength. He's no brute technique.
It was, I was terrified for her. Anyway, they danced to 660s. Mother's Eyes got 23 points. Jazz and Brad did a dance to Rise Up by Andra Day. It was a foxtrot and there was mid-dance, but it was actually late dance costume change.
It was very exciting.
Yeah. And she did. I mean, she's a dancer. She can dance. Yeah. Gal can dance.
It was
dance.
Very emotional. That's the thing. So the emotions in the room, very real. Sharon Casey was weeping.
There were people weeping.
The judges were weeping. It was pretty powerful.
Super emo episode the whole way through.
So this dance was also her story, you know, in dance form. And that really sort of heightened the performance as well. It was a really intense dance and a really good dance and, everyone was, weeping. And then Dave Butterbean came out and he also got bloody really emo on it.
When that footage of him doing a haka for Eli after he'd been eliminated, and if you watch closely, you could see Eli kind of shaking at the emotion of that moment and the gesture. And it was like, man, this real silly show is fucking getting me.
Yeah. See? See, I know.
Come round.
This is one of my comments, one of my notes. Massively emo, did you cry the whole way through?
No. Just a bit moist towards the end. Down the ice.
Also, shout out to the judges. Because I watch them watching. Like, they are really doing it in the moment.
Yeah, they're writing things.
They don't even have time to confer, really, like, well, you know, after the dances. They just do it, and they do it perfectly every time with their little sound bites.
We also learned as audience members that there's a camera that sits over the judges and looks directly down on them. I thought the warm-up guy was going to say to make sure that they're not, like, being sneaky, changing their votes at the last minute, their scores at the last minute. But actually what it is to see what their scores are. They hold down the paddle so they can quickly add it up and get it to the graphics guy to get it up on screen in time.
And then Sharon can have a crack at adding them up.
Yeah, yeah. And
just joking, Sharon. You're great.
Little thing from from being in the room that wouldn't have been picked up on the telly. When Dave was about to start his dance, he was sat in front of the judges' table, and he had in his VO piece, he said that he was dedicating this one to his wife, mother of his children. And he was just looking down and playing with his wedding, not playing with, not like, you know, just like
fondling.
Fondling his wedding ring. As a kind of, I don't know, it was and then he got her at the end, got her up at the end.
Yeah, that was real cool. Dave literally is the man.
What did I say when after he kissed her? Do you remember?
Is that his wife? And I said, that is his wife.
I thought it might have just been, you know, yeah.
It's the lady in the audience.
It could have been us had we got there earlier. Yeah. You know?
That's true. Okay, anyway.
We pulled up both of you.
Yeah.
amazing clothes.
And do like a three-way handshake.
Remember when Hayden from Maths proposed to both of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Still got to sort that out, get the dates ready.
Okay, we have, we don't need to talk about any of the VT stuff, eh? Faz went and got a haircut, I Am Hope, great charity. The only thing is after that VT, so this isn't that when they announced his final two, right? That's when Faz's VT's plays. And then they come back to Kerry and she's about to dance and suddenly, like, Sharon, it seems like on the fly is like, and we just want to talk about Kerry's charity as well. I reckon Talkback host, she was like, that is an unfair advantage if you're going to play his VT right before he dances off in an elimination dance. We need to talk about my charity and the children as well, please. And they throw in some stuff about that.
But the voting had closed at that point. Or do you think it doesn't matter?
No, she hadn't danced yet.
No, but the audience doesn't vote. And the dance off, the judges.
All right.
Okay. Also, do we just want to not talk about the Jive Marathon?
How are we not going to talk about the Jive Marathon?
The craziest thing I've ever seen.
I thought someone might die.
Yeah. Jazz Thornton in the background, did you notice? Because I know she has asthma. And she was like behind, like when she was sitting in Sharon's booth, she looked like
Yeah,
she was
in I did
trouble.
Notice her. I did notice her in Sharon's booth, still huffing and puffing well after the dance had finished. And we heard Phoebe, professional dancer Phoebe's partner, when we were in the holding pen, I heard him talking about 3.5 minute dancing. I didn't know what he was on about. He was like, jive, 3.5 minutes, and it's normally only 90 seconds, and it's safe. Even for the professional dancers, it's really hard, blah, blah, blah. He'd know, goes out with one of them. Mm. And then it all was revealed.
Brody just seemed to be bringing it constantly, the whole way through.
Are we testing these guys for, I don't want to make any accusations, but are we substance testing to make sure that no one's on performance enhancing?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, probably maybe rat testing?
Yeah, it's not the same, is it?
Oh, no, it's something.
Okay, just throwing it out there. It just does seem like inhuman.
It did seem inhuman.
But Brody won. I don't know what the point of winning that was.
She got more points.
Get more points.
The longer you stayed in it, the more points you got. They got added to your total. Therefore, you got more of an advantage.
That's just new things every week.
I actually think it's cool that they've gone, the format we'd done wasn't very good. We'll change the format, albeit too late to save beloved Eli. But, you know.
It's just good to hear Tutti Frutti O Rudy again, you know.
Over and over. It was a tight little loop, that.
And there was a bit where they also nearly danced into each other, which was a hairy moment.
Oh, I didn't miss
when they opened up the floor and the spotlights went off and the two couples had the floor to themselves.
I liked the judge dancers. I particularly liked lancers yes. and lectures.
Okay.
But particularly lancers. Lancers are so good at dancing.
So
it's
cool.
Fucking fucked how good it is at dancing.
But it was so downbeat. Not downbeat. What's the word? It was just like chill, like chill vibes
yeah.
dance.
Like just
the audience needed to be whooping more.
Oh, the audience yes. were underwhelmed with yeah. their response. I was angry at the audience. Mm. Give them a 3, honestly.
We'll also say about Lance, he's driving at the desk a lot of
yeah,
the time.
Right.
Like
yeah.
You noticed him.
Yeah.
He's always moving.
Yeah.
The rest are still.
He's amazing.
Oh, I should add, we got told we were the best audience yet, weren't we? And I'm certain I'm certain that was true.
Yeah,
I'm certain they don't say that to
lie.
Every.
No.
Yeah. But honestly, judging by the audience's response to Lance's dance on the Monday night, tend to agree. We would have whooped and hollered, wouldn't we?
I would have gone crazy yeah. to see Lance Savali dance in the flesh.
Dance Savali.
Wow.
Yeah.
He also has a tiny fan.
He does, yeah. Me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he keeps the tiniest of little
it's
fans.
It's the tiniest fan you'll ever see. A tiny little mint green, like USB powered. Yeah. fan. And she's here with us today.
Is there anything else, Dan? No. Oh, Kiri went home.
No.
Oh, yeah, Kiri went home.
Yeah. And she asked on her way out, she asked for Jared to have a lovely young thing next year so that he can show what he can do. So Jared's debut on Dancing with the Stars this year.
Yeah.
Mm. Tell you what's fun, in the Real Pod Corner, Matt Tatton-Brown, seasoned pro dancer of Dancing with the Stars, who became a corny and is now, he's in the threads chatting it up, giving his opinion on things, which is great. It's like qualified commentary, which
Matt
is.
Matt Tatton-Brown.
Not what you're here for. Matt Chatton Brown.
Oh, no.
He danced with Susie Cato.
Chatton. No, nothing. Sorry.
No. You've gone too far.
Chatton Brown. Anyway, just another reason why you should join the Real Pod Corner. Hey, if you like this podcast, share it with your mates. Like, subscribe, rate. What was that?
I was just saying rate.
You can rate us on Spotify
I've
now,
I've had some
too.
Bad ratings on the fold. Like, they've gone down to a 4.6. So,
oh,
maybe you can rate,
while
rate
you're
the
there,
fold.
Give the folder.
You don't have to listen to it. Boring. But, you know, give it a nice number.
5 is the number you need to get. 5 stars on Apple, 5 stars on Spotify. Give us a follow. Help with the algorithms. I don't know. We're desperate.
We are.
We're
not ashamed to say it.
And thank you, Tia, here for putting up with us week on.
A legend.
Week off.
Hats off.
It's not really week on, week off, is it? It's just week on, week on.
Amazing new phrase that you've just started using almost constantly. I feel like you need to be wearing your Panic at the Disco little...
Oh, my top hat.
Top hat?
Yeah.
To really...
Should have brought that on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been wrong.
Taylor wears a top hat and something, doesn't she?
Bouncy.
She does,
circus-y kind of look. That would have been cool.
Yeah, but if you
I did
know,
wear my chef pants.
Yes.
Don't get that twisted.
I wish you'd worn your chef pants to Dancing with the Stars and cooked up something yum while we were so hungry. hot tip, if you do end up going to the show, just take some fucking honey roasted peanuts.
Have a big meal beforehand.
A big meal beforehand.
Have a one square meal.
And and also, I think I'm not going to do it again because it was too long of a wait, but was there not rat testing, I feel like it would be a lot quicker.
And the rat testing is high drama. It's exciting, I think.
Did anyone... get like a
no,
fail and have to go
no,
home.
It would have been real obvious though because they were batch calling numbers like, you know, 96. Or
maybe that's what went to 96.
21, 24, 33, and they're calling out and so like 10 people would all get up and leave. And you can just imagine, it would be like, number 7, you just come and see us in the tent, please. Like it would have been so obvious.
Mm.
So if you have COVID, don't go. You'll be singled out.
But if you want a free rat test.
If you want a free rat test, it's a great place to go. Because they didn't even check your tickets. Actually, did they check our tickets?
Yeah, they
did.
Oh,
yeah, not until we walked into the building, but you can get your rat test before that. So if you want to go along and just see, like, Brody Kane's mum, get a free rat test, head along.
I feel like we've given some of our worst advice and, like had real strong opinions about and almost demonstrably, stuff that we're demonstrably wrong about in this podcast.
No, today. Cody on maths was definitely your worst.
Well, when I was in Dawson.
When you were
doing
Team Cody was dark period
dark
for you.
Hey, look, we're not a great group of people online. The Discord, problematic stuff going down in there all the time.
Cody's Angels.
And on that note, thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week with Dancing with the Stars, week 4. See you then.
From the Spin-Off Podcast Network, you've been listening to The Real Pod, with very special thanks to Nando's. It was hosted by me, Jane Yee, along with Alex Casey and, most of the time, Duncan Grebe. Tiahe Butler made it all sound good, and Rachel LaRue got us out to the world. Make sure you visit nandos.co.nz for some delicious kai.
Just quickly, if you enjoyed this podcast and value what we do at The Spin-Off, please consider joining The Spin-Off members. All our mahi is made possible by our members, and we wouldn't be here today without their support. Tautoko ko mai and head to thespinoff.co.nz/members to sign up.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Tiahe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.